Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good Sunday morning. 9 floors up in the Kia studio, Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929thegame.com. Sam on this side of the glass with Greg on the other side of the glass on this Thanksgiving holiday weekend as it comes to a close and wraps up. And we got some rain falling outside. So if you're going to be getting out this morning, if you're going to be traveling today, if you got to drive around the area, or if you're heading back home, just build a little extra time. And I know that there's some inclement weather. In other parts of the country, they're really getting some bad weather. But we're due to get some rain, possibly. There was some overnight. Don't know how long it's going to last today, but just know there's some moisture on the roadways if you're going to be going out to drive around. And I don't know how any of it may impact your travel times if you're having to go out to Hartsfield, Jackson. That's a whole different kettle of fish out there to have to travel and have to go out that way on the holidays. But we hope you travel safely. Hope there's been a safe and enjoyable holiday weekend for you, extended holiday weekend. Hopefully you had a chance to spend some time with family, friends, and, you know, have good stuff to eat. Maybe have some leftovers still around, that extra slice of pie, or extra slice of cake, whatever you might have that type thing. And then that you still may have a few bucks in your pocket after Black Friday. You know, that's the other thing. So hopefully you still got a little cash to go around after all the eating, the big meal, and the beginning of the Christmas shopping for some of you who wait until the Friday after Thanksgiving. Some people start before. Some people already got all their shopping done. I haven't done any yet. But, you know, some people do that. So whichever one you choose to do, I hope you've spent a safe and enjoyable time. And if you still have some more time with friends and family today, enjoy that. If you're going out to Sunday services, be safe as you travel this morning. My goodness, what a weekend this is for sports. And I was away last week. I was out in the West Coast with the Georgia State basketball program, picking up a couple of wins there with them. And I just got off a bus here about 4 hours ago. Just got off a bus from Statesboro. It was a bumpy time down there. We get into that as the morning goes along. Of course, the big story a lot of people are talking about, it is rivalry weekend. And, of course, clean old-fashioned hate. The latest installment was acted out at Bobby Dodd Stadium in Grant Field yesterday in Georgia with a resounding 52-7 win over Georgia Tech. I think that's the biggest margin of victory ever in that rivalry as Georgia wins. And Tech came out and fought and tried to compete early on, but just too much Georgia, too much from Jake Fromm, too much from the Georgia defense. Fromm having a day, 14 of 29, 254 yards, 4 touchdowns. And they score 52 points. Now, for people who have been saying that was a problem with Georgia, that they weren't winning in spectacular form. They were winning games, but they weren't running up the scores like you see Ohio State and, you know, the other schools, maybe Clemson, the other teams that are considered championship contenders. And, yes, LSU did it again yesterday as well. But still, it's a victory. And you wanted to come through that in good shape for next week. They came through. They scored 50 points, which is something we don't usually see Georgia do. They held Tech to just 7, but there's some other things that happened. DeAndre Swift carried the ball 10 times for 73 yards, leaves the game with a shoulder injury. Not sure how that will affect him next week in the SEC championship game. And this is the thing you wanted to do. You wanted to come through this game with Tech and play well if you're Georgia. You wanted to come through and then have everybody ready as best possible. The fullest complement possible of players available and ready to play against LSU next week. Add to the Swift injury, then George Pickens, who had to sit some yesterday before he was able to play. Once into the game, he catches a touchdown pass. And while Dominic Blaylock is catching a touchdown in the third quarter, he is going at it, you know, with Georgia Tech playing this. Trace Willing, they were over this kind of going back and forth at each other. And if you look at the replay, I think Swilling actually may have thrown the first punch. I don't know if it landed, but he threw the first punch. But how many times have you seen, you know, the punishment go to the person who throws the second punch. And that's what happened in this case. But Pickens has to know that he's needed by his team. So now he's going to have to sit out the first half next week in the conference championship game. And he's the top receiver for this team for Jake Fromm. Here's what Coach Kirby Smart had to say about it after the game.
I'll address the George Pickens situation. He was suspended for the first half for a violation of team rules, and that's all I'm going to say about that. And then, unfortunately, he got an undisciplined penalty. And when you make undisciplined decisions, regardless of what's done first, you pay a penalty for that. So he won't be able to play the first half of next week. And when you make emotional decisions, that's what happens.
Wow, Coach Smart talking about how he dealt with things. We'll deal with things with Pickens. Either way, I mean, there was a team rule that caused him to miss some playing time yesterday. And that's a lot of that's just immaturity, folks. You know, I mean, we say why would they would do something like that? Why would they allow it to happen? Immaturity, just immaturity, and not thinking about his team, not thinking about the ramifications and how it could impact everyone. And in a rivalry game like the one with Georgia and Georgia Tech, sure, you know, these guys are no strangers to each other. A lot of them have known each other and, you know, and have competed against each other at high school level, maybe in some all-star games or some camps. These guys are, you know, there are no strangers out on the football field these days. Everybody knows each other or knows somebody who knows them, or you're playing with someone who's a former teammate of theirs or something. There really is a connection, you know, out there, and especially in a game like Georgia and Georgia Tech. So that's the thing. You got to keep you want to be intense. You want to be into the rivalry. You want to beat your rival, and you want to let them know that you're beating them. But at the same time, you got to be smart when there's something else to play for, because Georgia's got a big game next week, and Tech's packing that stuff away. You know that's the other thing. So I mean, we'll talk about that as well. With the guests is coming up with us in the 8 o'clock hour, Matt Winklejohn is going to join us, a veteran sports journalist who keeps an eye on things with Georgia Tech as well. We're going to have some thoughts on the game yesterday and what's next for the Tech program and where things are going. And also, of course, he for a number of years covered the Falcons beat, so he'll be with us during the 9 o'clock hour when we talk NFL. An interesting week in the NFL. You know, we'll get into those things with Lamar Jackson's big performance, the Falcons' disappointing performance Thursday night. And then we got a player who's been banned for gambling. And my question is this: why did that take so long? I know you're not supposed to do it. I know it's understood that it's not allowed to do that, to bet on games if you're an active player in the NFL or any of that type of, you're working with the NFL, I understand it. But when the league puts out there that this is what we're doing, and this is how we're making millions of dollars, somebody's going to get sideways. And sure enough, it happens this week. We'll get into that with Matt Winklejohn coming up at the 9 o'clock hour. We got a lot to cover in this first hour. Obviously, we're going to talk more about college football and, you know, some of the games that took place yesterday, the winners, the losers. Coaches on the hot seat. Any more pink slips going out anytime soon? We'll get into that in a little bit. Some who may deserve pink slips, will they get them or not? And maybe where some spots that are open, and what will those programs do now that they have announced that the coaching jobs are vacant? We'll get into that some, as well as run down some of the results of some of the rivalry games that used to be big deals that you really used to wait all season to see, and nobody even mentioned yesterday. It's amazing how that has happened at this stage of the season. And some conference championship games are now all set as well, as a result of what happened yesterday. So we'll get into those as well. And then the back end of our hour at 6:40, Gabriel Stovall is going to join us with Georgia Sports Writers and gets his thoughts on the high school football playoffs at this point. We're to the semifinal round. Four teams remain in all classifications. And as they march toward Georgia State Stadium, one more week, and then we have the state championship games. We'll talk with him, get his thoughts on what we've seen so far. Any surprises that he's seen, or is it pretty much going the way he expected them to go? That's coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. We're going to do some Heisman talk. Corey McCartney has joined us many times. Obviously, he's covered a lot with the Braves and baseball, but he is also a Heisman voter. And my goodness, you look at that performance that was put on by LSU and Joe Burrow. Did he pretty much tuck the trophy away yesterday? Has he locked it away? Is it his for good? We're going to get into that a little bit, and, you know, who people thought were contenders before the season began and how this guy has just emerged to be the front runner. I mean, the solid front runner for the Heisman. But we'll see. Corey may have make us cause us to pause and think and reflect about some other players who put up done some impressive things. So Corey McCartney will join us in the 7 o'clock hour. You want to stay tuned as we do some Heisman talk with him during that hour. Also, some things are happening with the Atlanta Hawks. John Babel will join us in studio during the 8 o'clock hour for 8:20. Talk some Hawks basketball. We talk with him. We may talk a little Georgia Tech basketball too. He's a Georgia Tech alum. That's coming up at 8:20. And 9 o'clock, we go full tilt NFL. Russell Baxter will join us, who was really a regular on our show on Sunday mornings. We're going to spend some time with him talking NFL, get his thoughts on the season, thoughts on what happened here in Atlanta, what we can expect today and going forward as far as we start to pare down the field to see who's in and who's out of the NFL postseason. That's all coming up. So we got a full morning coming up today. From 6 until 10, we're going to 10 because Falcons play Thursday night. So hope you'll stay with us. And, of course, Greg will have casting call, you know, because that's going on. You can, you know, be involved with some productions. And there's a certain production that he's a part of that will be in the studio, will be in theaters in 2 weeks. That right? In 2 weeks, you'll be able to go to your movie theater and see Greg. Now, many of you have seen him in your movie theater before for a Sprite commercial. No, you're going to go see him in a film. That's all coming up. We are just getting started. Stay with us. We got a full morning here. You stay with us. Sports Radio 99 The Game and 99TheGame.com. Sports Radio 99 The Game, 99TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you on this Sunday after Thanksgiving. So glad you're with us until 10 a.m. today. And, of course, coming up later on today, we will have the NFL here on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Falcons don't play, but there will be other games for you. We got the Titans and Colts. Pregame at 12:30, kickoff at 1 o'clock. And then join in progress after the first game, Chiefs and Raiders. Oh, big, big rivalry, AFC rivalry. Talk about rivalry weekend for college. That's rivalry for pros. And then, of course, tonight, the primetime game, the Patriots and Texans. Some folks have been waiting for this one. Pregame 7:30, kickoff at 8:20. That's what's coming up today here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yesterday, of course, this is rivalry weekend. We talked about some big games. We talked about the Georgia Tech game. Down the road, down on the plane, it was Auburn against Alabama. And a lot of people were watching this game. The Alabama lovers, people who want to see Alabama always a part of the playoff and always contending for the national championship. And some people always want to see them come to Atlanta to play in the SEC championship game. As Greg would always say, they come and they help out our bottom line here in town when they come. But, you know, people have been asking me, so what do you think they're going to do with a one-loss Alabama team? I said, there ain't going to be no one-loss Alabama team because Alabama's going to get a second loss. Auburn's going to beat them. And that's what I told people all this past week. I said, Auburn's going to win this game. And high-scoring game. Play some defense, will you? My goodness, at 48-45, Auburn was the win in that game. And even some calls at the end of the half and the end of the quarter has Coach Saban, end of the game, has Coach Saban screaming and yelling about the officiating. But still, Alabama goes to 10-2. At 10-2, they're all dressed up and will be on the outside looking in when it comes to the playoff. And it's one team that the playoff committee won't have to agonize over what to do with Alabama because that won't be a situation now since they have that second loss, that one. So 48-45, Auburn goes to 9-3 and Alabama at 10-2. Now the game we watched yesterday was Ohio State. Of course, they're the number one team this week. They beat Michigan 56-27, and the beat goes on with or without Urban Meyer. Ohio State still has Michigan's number, much to the chagrin of people at Greg's house. Not very happy about this. 56-27, the final score in that one. So Ohio State moves on, still undefeated, a perfect 12-0, headed for the Big Ten championship game next week. Just you know, doing things and just having their way in a game that, you know, used to be a big, intense rivalry. And I guess it still is. I mean, after the game, you know, Coach Harbaugh couldn't say a whole lot. His team was obviously outclassed yesterday. He's worked hard to recruit and get the kind of players that will make Michigan be on the same footing with Ohio State and make that rivalry be not just something we talked about in the past, but make it something current where the Michigan team is back there and standing on the same foot. Even some of the Michigan players were saying, hey, we think we're closer. We think we're closer than the score represents. But obviously, the end outcome of this game says that Michigan still has a way to go to catch up with them. Meanwhile, Clemson, the defending national champion, who to me has been disrespected quite a bit this season. A lot of people say, well, they ain't play nobody. Well, you know, line up with them now and see about this team that hadn't played anybody. That's what I submit to anybody. And even Coach Sweeney kind of said it yesterday. He kind of got the best of him in a post-game interview. They are a perfect 12-0 after a 38-3 win over South Carolina. And Trevor Lawrence, three touchdown passes in the game. And afterwards, Coach Sweeney said, you know, we got a little chip on our shoulder. We think this college football playoff committee don't like us. We think they're trying to find a way to keep us out. We just beat the team that beat Georgia. Now, that's relative speaking. Yeah, South Carolina did beat Georgia. Though we know South Carolina's not on the same foot with Georgia. But anyway, that's what he kind of threw out there yesterday. What else do you want us to do? We beat the team that beat Georgia, and you're finding ways for Georgia to stay in, but if we had lost to South Carolina, you would have dropped us down out of the top 20. I don't think they would have dropped them quite that far. But they would have been out of the playoffs, that's for sure. But no, Clemson is there. They're there. They're going to meet Virginia in the ACC championship game. Now, I don't know if Virginia's got much of a chance to slow them down. But Clemson, to me, seems to be a lock for the playoff. And I think, you know, I don't say they're like Georgia in that you're going to see them play up to the level of the competition. They've beaten whoever's been put in front of them this year. Yeah, they had a rough game against North Carolina. Did not come out playing their best. Like I said, when that happened, it's hard to maintain that for an entire season. You're going to come out one week, and some things are not going to go right. You're going to be a little out of sync at certain times. And it's the teams that survive that. So much of it you have to survive just to get to the championship and get to the playoff. Not everybody's going to breeze into it, you know. So that's the thing. Somebody's going to have some challenges along the way, some adversity along the way, and, you know, it builds something special for that team. I think that could be the case for Clemson. We'll see what happens as things go forward. And then there's LSU. And Mr. Burrow, who had another banner day, 50-7 final score for Texas A&M. More records fall. He passes Kentucky's Tim Couch for the season single-season passing record for SEC. Ties Missouri's Drew Locke for touchdowns in the season at 44. And the records just keep falling for this guy who, you know, like next hour we're going to get into some Heisman talk. Now he's the front runner. But when the season began, you know, he was nowhere, wasn't even on the map. But LSU is steamrolling. They're coming soon to a Mercedes-Benz Stadium near you. Yes, they will be here next week to take on the Georgia Bulldogs. It's the game that we've been looking forward to. It's seeing Georgia against LSU here in Atlanta. So, you know, Georgia's here in Atlanta yesterday. They will turn around. They will be back next week with a whole lot more on the line as they play in the conference championship game. So a few other rivalries that were acted out yesterday. Out west, Utah over Colorado. You may say Utah-Colorado. Yeah, well, since Colorado and Utah joined the Pac-12, and they finished up the season playing together, 45-15 in Colorado. So Utah gets a spot in the Pac-12 championship game. Oklahoma, did they convince you? Yeah, you know, you're watching Oklahoma. They're 11-1. Remember them? 34-16 winners over Oklahoma State. So we see Jalen Hurts. Remember him from Alabama? He's out there doing great things. He throws a touchdown. He runs for a touchdown. He catches a pass for one in that game. So they're all dressed up at 11-1. Won't you pick them to be in the playoff? We'll see. Of course, they got a conference championship game coming up as well. And several other games that are conference championship games or rivalry games that we had at the end of the season. Oregon 24-10 over Oregon State. But I tell you one that didn't hear a whole lot of talk about that used to be just a biggie. And man, that is Florida and Florida State. This used to be just one of the big season-ending games and was always contending to somewhat go into a big bowl game. Florida ranked 11th, and, of course, Florida State just out of everything. And Florida wins that game 40-17. Florida State is 6-6, so I guess that makes them bowl eligible with an interim head coach until they decide who they're going to bring in for that position full-time. And, man, you just didn't hear a whole lot of talk about this game. That's what happens when one of the programs really falls to the point where Florida State's program is right now. And so we watch to see what happens with that program going forward, man. But, wow, 40-17 winners, 11th-ranked Florida with the win over Florida State in a game that's, you know, in the past has been a rivalry game that people talked a lot about and look forward to and that type thing. So the other thing, we talked about some coaches who are in and who are out. And, you know, there's some that, you know, one of, you know, coaches got the vote of confidence in the SEC. Right now we've seen Barry Odom go out at Missouri. Help Wanted sign is also up at Arkansas in the conference. Everybody else, it looks like they're going to get to stay put. We'll see what happens there. So there's some other spots around the country. We may be looking for some. I think Kevin Sumlin got a vote of confidence. He will be back out of Arizona. So he's not going anywhere. Harbaugh, a lot of people thought that maybe. And that could still happen. We'll see, but it doesn't seem like he's going to be going anywhere from Michigan. So there's some people, you know, thought he was maybe on the hot seat too and must win this year against Ohio State. Did not happen. We'll see what happens there. Or maybe he leaves on his own accord. We'll see what happens there. It seems like that on again, off again thing with Shiano and Rutgers is back on. And a lot of people, you know, thought that Greg Schiano was going to be returning to Rutgers, a program that he coached to respectability a time before, since spending some time in the National Football League. They were saying it was on again, it was off, that he wasn't going to be able to get it. You know, he left Rutgers in 2012 to go and take a turn with the Tampa Bay Bucks. Only lasted 2 years there, resurfaced on Urban Meyer's staff, and had an agreement rescinded at Tennessee. So it looks like he's going to be able to return to Rutgers, a program that he coached previously and coached when won they 68 wins and coached him to 6 bowl games in his last 7 years there. So it seems like he may be returning to Rutgers and maybe what they need to try to restore that program and make it a bit more competitive in the Big Ten. And so it seems like that's a coaching change that may be on the verge of happening. We see in several published reports, Yahoo Sports and ESPN.com. Yeah, that may be the case for him to return as a head coach there. And that's something we watch this time of year. The pink slips go out. You want to call it coaching, college football coaching, silly season, whatever you want to call it, when things are changing up. We'll watch and see what happens in the days to come. Now that the regular season games are done, the conference championship games are next week, and then the bowl games come along. Between now and then, we'll see some other announcements. Either some guys are, you know, I mean, when that contract's not renewed, or some will seek greener pastures. Just will say, well, I've done so much here, and I'm going to see what I can find elsewhere and go up there and see if I can claim a spot at a different place. So those are some things that we watch and see in the coming weeks for college football. But also we watch also for some of the awards. Postseason awards will be coming up, especially after the conference championship games next week. The following week, those awards are usually handed out. And we watch to see who's there for Heisman. Are you convinced that Joe Burrow is the guy that would get the Heisman? You know, you've got a couple of players you want to consider. You got a defensive player at Ohio State you may want to consider. You got a quarterback out of Oklahoma you might want to consider. You got some guys you want to think about that could be contenders for it. Or is it all locked away? We'll see if the players have made their great impression. They have their teams in position to do certain things. And those three teams, by the way, are teams that are in position to be a part of the playoff and be a part of it. We'll get into that and probably take some of your calls next hour and get your thoughts on it as well. You can anytime the show with us here on this Sunday morning, 404-741-0929, or text us on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929 as we talk some college football. All right, high school football season has gotten down to the final four in each classification. Coming up next, Gabriel Stovall is going to join us. We're going to talk a little bit about who's in and who's out and what he thinks about what's happened so far with two more weeks of postseason play to go for Georgia high school football. That's coming up next when you continue with us here on this Sunday morning, a game day Sunday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you. 9 floors up in the Kia Studios on this Sunday after Thanksgiving. I hope everyone's, you know, had a safe holiday weekend, enjoyed family and friends. If you're traveling, please do with care and enjoy those extra leftovers that you had from that big, big meal that you had. And I know somebody who really had a good meal. I know this brother had a good meal. He always like can find one. Gabriel Stovall is director of the Georgia Sports Writers Association, joins us now on the waitfor.com hotline. Gabriel, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sam. Yeah, man, I'm still full from Thursday and from Friday as well, man. So it was a great one, buddy. I hope y'all's well as well.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Hey, this is that time of year. We've been talking a lot about the NFL today and college yesterday. But, man, the high school football state playoffs are down to the semifinal round. Your thoughts about what you've seen so far, and has any team jumped out at you as a surprise?
Man, I tell you, man, there's a lot of great action that's still left, man. There are several things. I think the first game that really just jumped at me and slapped me in the face, it was kind of, if there was any one game I wish I would have went to, it was that Peach County Cedar Grove game, man. That one, not necessarily that I was shocked that Cedar Grove won it, but just the way they won it. They dominated them, I think it was like 38-3 or something like that. And I know when Pete, earlier in the season when Peach County was rolling over 6A teams and 7A teams, we were kind of penciling them in as the favorite in 3A. But, man, Cedar Grove came up and smacked them. Big shout-out to Miguel Patrick, who's done a great job in year one after taking the helm from Jimmy Smith. I think that's probably the game. There's a lot of great matchups, but that was the one that really shot me last Friday, made me do a little double-take action.
Yeah, there was another one down on the south side, I think, where it looked like Dutchtown was going to finally get over the hump with Stars Mill. Didn't quite happen, though. Stars Mill, give them credit. They get that win.
Nipped them by a point, man. And I think I saw somewhere where Dutchtown has been ousted from the playoffs like 7 times from Stars Mill, man. You know, that's kind of my area. I love those teams down in the Southern Crescent area. Big shout out to Chad Phillips, who's been at Stars Mill for, I think, like 10 years now. Took them to the state title back in 2010. Though they lost to a good Chattahoochee squad in 4A. It's going to be tough out with Warner Robins, but it's just good to have them back in that saddle, man. And, man, look, and you're talking about 4A, watch Jones County, man. I know they got a matchup with Buford, but Jones County's been looking solid all year long. So this 4A is a very, very good, or 5A, I'm sorry, it's a very, very good situation. And talking about Jones County a little bit before I got ahead of myself, but definitely in 5A, Stars Mill shocking, looking to see what they'll be doing.
Yep, spending time on the waitfor.com hotline with Gabriel Stovall. You can follow him on Twitter, always at Gabriel C. Stovall. Gabriel C. Stovall. Okay, we're going to have a new state champion, number one classification, because Lee County got bounced out this past Friday night. And a lot of people feel like pound for pound, each year they're usually one of the best teams in the state, regardless of classification.
Yeah, man. I mean, that was an interesting one. When you get those teams that are always the staple and that are always just there, it just, you feel like you're going to always see them there. And so just kind of seeing Lee County get bounced out, man, I was kind of like, okay. You know, but every team has their year, man. And so it'll definitely be interesting to see what new team will rise to the top once we get down to state championship time.
Yeah, saw some teams at home field. Whitwood Academy goes to Cartersville, gets a win. Buford, you meant, moved on. They had to do it with a late field goal at Carrollton. Some teams really had to go and take away the home field this past Friday night.
Yeah, man, like I said, you know, a little bit earlier, got my 4A mixed into my 5A, but 4A, man, that Carrollton, I mean, that Woodward game is going to be a very, very solid matchup. I've had them with Blessed Trinity, defending state champion. I've had Woodward number one in my GSWA poll pretty much all year. You know, they are solid, but that 4A, those semifinal matchups, Oconee over there 12-1, only lost to Clark Central by a touchdown in week 2 of the season. They'll be playing against the Sandy Creek squad that you know, that's another one of those teams where we're used to seeing kind of in this, still playing in this time. They had a few down years, but they're back at it in the semifinals, man. So Class 4A, that's another matchup. I think really Class 4A has probably got the most intriguing set of semifinals matchups in the state. That's just my opinion. It'll be fun to watch and see who comes out on top over there.
Well, I know the folks in 7A were saying, wait a minute, what about us? We're supposed to be the heavyweights. I tell you what, you had some big matches, especially out at McEachern Friday night. And give North Gwinnett credit, they went out to Powder Springs and they brought back the win.
Man, listen, I mean, you're talking about shockers. North Gwinnett was a little bit of a shocker there, you know. I felt like coming into the playoffs, especially this past week, I felt like Lowndes, McEachern, Marietta were kind of the best squads in class in the state in Class 7A. So it was pretty shocking for me to see North Gwinnett pull that one off in fairly convincing fashion, too. I think they beat them by like 3 scores. But, you know, they still got some championship pedigree. They just won it a couple of years ago. And so, you know, they're still wanting to show they still got those state championship chops. But I still like Lowndes in the semifinal, but I also like Lowndes to kind of go ahead and take that state championship, another trophy back down to Valdosta and Lowndes County, man.
And when they get you down at their place, they're awfully, awfully hard to beat.
Man, I've been to the Concrete Palace, man. I'm years removed from high school football. I was intimidated just standing there, so on the sidelines. So I can imagine what it's like when a football team comes down that way, man. But yeah, Lowndes has been rolling, and I still think Lowndes has chops to bring another state title back down that way, man.
On the other side of the things for Class 7, then you got Marietta, who had no problem with Mill Creek, and a Parkview program that has really returned, and they were able to get a win over Archer. And a lot of people didn't see that coming.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You know, some mild shockers in this thing, man. But that's why you play the games. You get down to this group this time of the year and this time, this part of the bracket, and I know it sounds like coach speak, but it's true. Everybody's good. Everybody's got, you know, some D1-ish talent. Everybody's got some dogs that can just go out and get it, man. So at this stage of the season, you know, even though we say we're shocked, you probably really shouldn't be shocked at anybody that comes out victorious at this stage of the season, because, man, all of these teams right now are some good, good football teams, among the best in the state, if not the region.
Yep, absolutely. I'm even looking all the way down to single-A private. I'm seeing Wesleyan still there. And, of course, Eagles Landing Christian is there, Fellowship Christian, but then Holy Innocence. Of course, they're the team that beat Elka early in the season, and we're seeing they're getting ready to go at it again this coming Friday night.
Yeah, man. You know, I know Coach Jonathan Guest down there covered those guys in Elka down in McDonough for a long time. Look, it's so funny, man. You know, Elka, I think, has got a little bit of that syndrome where people are kind of – got a little bit of Alabama syndrome where people are kind of tired of them winning, man. And they've been going at it and doing it for a long time. I think Final Four at least every year since 2011, I believe. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when Holy Innocence beat them back on September 20th, it was only a one-point loss. Everybody was kind of trying to push Elka down in the rankings. Some was, you know, fifth, sixth. I was like, nah, man, Elka's still – the class of Class A, but it's going to be hard. Holy Innocence is definitely no slouch. Elka did have a few players missing in that first game that they lost, but man, don't tell that to anybody for this one, man. This is for a chance of the state championship playoff or state championship game. So both of those teams, man, that's going to be a slobber knocker in Class A private.
Fantastic, fantastic. Gabe, we thank you for getting up and spending some time with us this morning, as always, and let's see what happens this coming week on the road to the state championship games.
Yes, sir, man. It's always a pleasure, Sam. Love talking with you, my friend.
Always, always good spending some time with you. That's Gabriel Stovall, director of Georgia Sports Writers Association. Great to have him with us talking some high school football. Top of the next hour, we're going to run down some college games and fill you in on all of the matchups for the state finals weekend as we get ready to talk Heisman in the next hour. You stay with us. But coming up next, a chance to get some cash in your pocket. Oh, it's the casting call. Sports Radio 929 The Game at 929TheGame.com. Coach Sweeney, not happy about that at all. And, you know, I can understand where that's coming from a little bit. But you know what? He knows why people are saying the things that they do. And I'm sure he tells his team, we just got to go out and beat the people in front of us. And then when you make it to the playoff, play like a team with a chip on your shoulder. Maybe not so much like a defending champion, but as a team that's been treated the way they've been treated this year. You know, so that's curious to see how that all works out. when it's time to play the big games coming up, you know, going to come after first of the year and it's time to play for the national championship, how this Clemson team will play. All right, talking about postseason, let's get into some postseason numbers. Georgia Southern, Georgia State yesterday down at Statesboro. Great scene down there for the game yesterday. And, of course, Georgia Southern comes away with a 38-10 win over Georgia State. Disappointing outing for Georgia State, who's hoping to go down and get an eighth win, regular season win, which the program in its 10-year history has never had eight wins in a season. Still got a chance to get an eighth win, but hoping to get it yesterday, obviously against the in-state rivalry. Not the case. The Georgia Southern team that showed up yesterday was really, to me, the Georgia Southern team that beat Appalachian State. Remember, Appalachian State has only lost once this season. It was to Georgia Southern in Boone. We're talking an App State team that has beaten both North Carolina and South Carolina this year. Still have some things defensively that got away from Georgia State, that they couldn't slow down the run attack from Georgia Southern. And you know that's what they're going to do. They were able to mix some things in, though. I mean, give them credit. They were able to mix some passing in. That helped them effectively move the ball down the field as well. Well timed. You know, Shai Wirtz is not against the greatest passing quarterback, but he was on target early in the first half of those games, and it really helped them move and a change of pace as far as their offense goes. But their main thing, their bread and butter, is always going to be running, and they were able to get it when they needed to. Georgia State hanging with them early, but, you know, not able to really find any answers late and sustain drives and get some points. And Dan Ellington, of course, the quarterback who's out there playing on a partially torn ACL, giving it all he could and to help to lead his team yesterday just wasn't to be, and it was disappointing for him as well as for Coach Sean Elliott and the staff. They're now 7-5. Georgia State is, as is Georgia Southern. They're both 7-5 on the season after that. So we watch to see what happens coming up next for both teams. The bowl predictions. There's some predictions of where the teams may end up or where Georgia State may end up. Of course, there are certain bowl games that the Sun Belt Conference is aligned with, and one of those games is the Camellia Bowl in Montgomery. Some people think that Georgia State may end up that. That's on December 21st. 5:30 start, they may end up playing in that game against Buffalo. So they may end up facing an opponent from the MAC, which they faced an opponent from the MAC earlier this year. And Western Michigan. So we'll see if that could be one of the places they end up. Obviously, there could be some other places they could end up playing a bowl game as well. We'll see either in Montgomery, either that bowl game, or maybe, a bowl game also in Orlando. So we're waiting to see which one it could be, you know, for Georgia State. So the people are excited. There's still more football for the Panthers to play. Some people think there may be a rematch with Western Michigan, possibly. So we saw them early in the season. That might be for the bowl game in Mobile. That's the Linden Tree Bowl. That's in January, on January 6th. So we'll see what happens as far as which bowl game we may see Georgia State play in. I think it may be either the game in Montgomery, maybe the game in Mobile. Some people think it may be go to Orlando again for the Cure Bowl. They played that one twice. Those are just some of the games that Georgia State and that the conference is aligned with. We'll find out next week after the conference championship games which of the bowl games will be inviting the Panthers. But the Panthers are going bowling with a record of 7-5 for the third time in program history, and what a season it has been. Meanwhile, speaking of seasons, how about the Kennesaw State Owls? They just keep on winning. 28-21, they beat Wofford in the FCS playoffs yesterday. KSU is now 11-2. Jonathan Murphy, a big game, 23 carries, 206 yards, including a 61-yard touchdown run. And the Owls were winners over Wofford. They get Weber State next. They are 9-3. That's coming up December 7th. They hit the road to play that game as they continue in the playoffs, in the postseason. So 11-2, Kennesaw State is still rolling. But there is one other college team that was defending national champion that is done. And that is Valdosta State. They fall to West Florida, who is a conference member. The Gulf South Conference beat them 38-35. So Valdosta State's season comes to an end. Their quest to repeat as Division II national champions comes to a halt. And that is really it for our college teams. A lot of our teams are in the playoffs. We're in and we're done in the first, second, or third round. Well, the first or second round in most classifications. And so that's who's remaining now. It's Kennesaw State in the playoffs and Georgia State and Georgia Southern still alive for bowl appearances coming up, and those will be announced next week. What happens? Uh-oh.
Hey.
I'm in trouble. What happened?
Last week.
Yes.
John brought up something that you kind of, well, I don't know if you didn't think about it because you have so many things to talk about, but getting your thoughts in these last minute or so here before you got to go on the, as he put it, interloper that has now joined Corky Kell for next year. The
interloper?
That's what he called him. But this is the first time this has ever happened.
Absolutely, absolutely. You mentioned Corky Kell, and the matchups have been announced for Corky Kell. Some people have seen him, and I know John Bednarowski passed him along because a lot of schools from Cobb County are involved. But I tell you, a team that is coming, like you said, you love for the college team to come from that state. How about a high school team from that state? Hoover, Alabama, has been invited to play in the Corky Kell Kickoff Classic this coming year. It will be interesting seeing. It'll be the first time an out-of-state opponent has come over to play Georgia. Also, talks about the magnitude of this kickoff classic that we do in Georgia, that a school from Alabama would want to come and be a part of it. So it's going to make things interesting, and I'm sure they will bring the buses. There will be a caravan that will make its way from the south side of the Metro Birmingham area over here for that game when they get a chance to play in the Corky Kell Classic. So that's something to look forward to indeed. Hoover, Alabama, of course, the legendary program, of course, had the television show, and so people, there's one high school football program that people know about, if not from football, they know from the TV show that they had a few years ago on MTV, and they're going to come and play here as far as Corky Kell, which will be a lot of fun, something different, and something that people should look forward to. So as we just talked high school football a minute ago, in our state playoffs and the games that are coming up next week, that's something to look forward to. At the start of next season. Ah, yeah. We talk about the season. We talk about superlatives. We talk about guys who had great performances. We're talking about college and the Heisman Trophy. We're going to talk about who's in and who's out of the Heisman race. Thoughts about where the poll is going to be, too, as far as the playoff. Corey McCartney is going to join us next. When you stay with us on this game day Sunday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. Ah, yeah, Joe Burrow doing what Joe Burrow does. We welcome you back into a game day Sunday morning here on Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you, 9 floors up from the Kia Studios. Cloudy skies outside. I hope it's not raining too much where you are. We've had some rain in the metro Atlanta area this morning, so drive with care if you haven't traveled, if you're headed back home, if you're headed out to Sunday services. Please be safe as you travel around this morning. Okay, folks, we're a couple of weeks away from the trophy being handed out, the hardware. A lot of college football awards, and, of course, the big one is the Heisman Trophy. Who's the front runner? We're going to talk with somebody who gets to weigh in on that, not only weigh in on it, but they actually get to vote for it. Joining us now on the waitfor.com hotline is Corey McCartney. Corey, good morning to you.
Hey, Sam. How you doing?
Man, great catching up with you. You know, we usually talk a lot of baseball with you and Braves, and we talked a lot about playoffs, but you're also a Heisman voter, and you've done a book about the Heisman Trophy as well.
Yeah, the Heisman's been an obsession of mine. Covered it for a long time at Sports Illustrated and then at Fox Sports, too. So, yeah, the Heisman Trophy, a story of an American icon and its winners. You can get it on Amazon. But, yeah, I've been voting for about 10 years, and this race, unlike a lot of them we had, it feels like there's little to no drama. Joe Burrow might as well start writing that acceptance speech. What a ridiculous season by the LSU quarterback.
Did you see this coming? Because at the top of the season, everyone obviously talking people like Justin Fields. We're talking about Tua. We're talking about Jalen Hurts. But the way Burrow has come along and just kind of taken this field by storm, talk a little bit about that.
Trevor Lawrence and Tua Tagovailoa, those were your favorites right there. I mean, Vegas had Tua as the odds-on favorite. I mean, people were talking about Fields. Burrow, we knew about Burrow, but I don't think we knew just how good this LSU team was going to be. But, it's an interesting race from the end that, while I said it feels like it's over, it's been interesting from the end of just the way that everyone else has kind of fallen out. I mean, it feels certain at this point that Justin Fields is going to have a top three finish. I think Jalen Hurts could. Chase Young, J.K. Dobbins, those feel like the guys. And a lot of those people that we thought were going to be factors. I mean, Trevor Lawrence has Clemson sitting on the precipice of going to another college football playoff, but it just doesn't feel like anyone has the case that Joe Burrow has. And again, we knew what he was capable of, but I don't think we thought that they were going to be this explosive and this good and run through everyone the way they have. And the case has certainly been made for Burrow to win.
Listen, Sam, I had to jump in here. So I didn't mean to take over the show. Hey, Corey McCartney joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Corey, I had to come in here because were it not for those two games that Chase Young missed, are we talking about the possibility of somebody breaking, or finally breaking through again on the defensive side, getting that Heisman Trophy? Nobody's done it since Charles Woodson. And if not Chase Young, who then?
Well, no one's done it because Charles Woodson also played on special teams and on offense. No one has ever strictly played defense and won a Heisman Trophy. The closest guy was Hugh Greene in 1980. I mean, you had, Manti Te'o obviously finished second to Johnny Manziel in 2012. No one's ever done it strictly as a defensive player. Had Chase Young not missed those two games, I still think Burrow would be winning this thing. But we'd have an interesting argument because, look, back in 2012, the decision voters had, are we finally going to let a freshman win? And it was obviously a redshirt freshman. Are we going to let a freshman win, or are we finally going to go with a strictly defensive player? Weren't comfortable to do it, even with Manti Te'o taking Notre Dame to a national championship game. I personally, having studied this award for a long time, don't think it's ever going to happen.
Wow. And you've been around it to write a book about it. You don't think there will be a defensive player that will be worthy of it?
I don't think so. I just think you have so many people. There's 870 voters, and you have to think about how many of those people watch football the way a lot of us watch football when we truly, take the time to watch, every team, almost every player, and truly understand, how dominant a guy can be on the defensive side of the ball. I think the fact that we don't have, we have secondary stats, analytical stuff that can tell you the impact a player has on a game from that side of the ball. But it's just so much easier to understand, okay, this guy leads the nation in rushing yards. This guy has more passing TDs than anybody. That, even for the lay fan, obviously as a vote, they need to be a little bit more responsible. But there's certainly people, who don't follow it quite to that degree, who are columnists for papers, who cover the sport in different ways that get to vote on it. And I think because of that, you're never going to have the appreciation for the defense side of the ball.
Well, spending some time this morning with Corey McCartney, and he is social. If you don't agree with what he's saying, he is social. You can find him on Twitter at Corey J. McCartney, all lowercase, Corey J. McCartney, all lowercase. All right, Alabama out, apparently, of being considered for the playoff. Who steps into that spot now of a team that's right there with a chance to go, especially after the outcome of next weekend's SEC championship game?
Yeah, after five straight years of Alabama love and in the playoff, it feels weird to be saying that, right? But, I think, look, if it's chalk next weekend, if Georgia does not beat LSU, if Wisconsin doesn't beat Ohio State, if Clemson doesn't fall, then it feels like you're looking at Oklahoma, Baylor, or Utah. And I think that's where the debate's going to lie. If it's Oklahoma, if they win the Big 12 and Utah wins the Pac-12, I think it's going to be Oklahoma. I think they've got better wins than Utah. Utah doesn't have a signature win. I know Oklahoma has a bad loss, and you'll be taking a one-loss champion over a champion that doesn't have that kind of a degree of a loss. But I think Oklahoma's the one that gets in.
That's why I was going to ask you so much. It's the pedigree of what we've had from the teams. We know at Oklahoma, you kind of know what you're getting with them. Is that the thing that allows them to climb in? And what would be the intrigue for this matchup for the playoffs minus Alabama? Because you get the people who tune in because of Alabama fans, but you also get the Alabama haters. And so those folks.
But when I look at Utah and I look at Oklahoma, Utah's got a loss to USC on the resume, right? And they don't have a real – their best win has come against number 17, Arizona State. Oklahoma's beaten Texas. They've beaten Baylor once. And now they're going to get a top 10 Baylor team. I think that's what put them over the top. In terms of, the interest minus Alabama, I think you've got some – obviously, you've got Ohio State, which is, a massive fan base. You've got this explosive LSU team. I think there's going to be some major interest in this one. I think they have some new blood in there, too. And certainly Clemson, Clemson is that national program for, 3 and 4 years. I think there's going to be still a ton of interest in this playoff, minus the Crimson Tide.
That's what I was going to ask you about Clemson. Dabo Swinney really sounded off yesterday, saying that the committee doesn't want Clemson in, and they're going to try to play with a chip on their shoulder. And, you know, are they kind of just a victim of their success and the fact that their conference just hasn't had a team to run with them and really contend with them this season?
I think it's that, and I think, too, I mean, when you're winning games to the way that they're winning games, how do you keep your guys motivated? And I think you tie back to that North Carolina, that tight North Carolina game where everyone was questioning how good this Clemson team was this year. What else does Dabo have to go back to? I mean, I think that's what the playing the disrespect card. You know, we've seen this team be built up and be built up in a way where, you know, they were built up through their coach's image. You know, they were built up as this, you know, kind of the other side of the coin for Alabama. I think they just have to find a way to keep these kids motivated amidst a season where they're just not being challenged week in and week out, and that's the step Dabo is taking right now.
Yep. Corey, we're not talking about a team from right here in our backyard, and they're going to be down at Mercedes-Benz Stadium next week taking on LSU. Thoughts about this Georgia team that all season long I pretty said they played up to the level of their competition. When they go up against someone that's nationally ranked or a big game, they show up. Yesterday they hung 52. I was on Georgia Tech, now, albeit, but they hung on their big points, something that they haven't done this season a lot of, and their fans wanted to see them have that big point total the way Clemson has done, the way Ohio State has done, the way LSU has done. But this is LSU they're going to be facing next week. Major concerns, obviously, we don't know about the status of Swift, and also your best wide receiver is going to be sitting out for the first half. Still, Georgia got a shot in this thing.
They got to play flawless, and you have to be able to, you can't give more opportunities to Joe Burrow and that LSU offense. And yesterday, I think, was the best they've looked since the Tennessee game. I mean, thank you. Obviously, the loss to South Carolina, you think about that Kentucky game in the rain. They just have, you mentioned, have played down to competition more often than not. To see them break out yesterday, I think, was a good omen if you're a Georgia fan going into the game against LSU. But, I mean, this is the best offense in the SEC. You know, the best scoring offense in college football, and you have to, I mean, they have to be flawless. They can't, Fromm has to go, you know, toe-to-toe with Burrow in this one. They can't make any mistakes and allow this team to get more opportunities. If that's the case, and they can play it close, and they can do something that no one's been able to do and take LSU off their game and have them playing on their heels, because this is not the LSU defense that we've been used to seeing, the one that, you know, can just have a stranglehold on a team. But this Georgia defense is capable of doing that. But can they do that against this LSU offense? That's the big question.
That is the big question. That is the big question. And we will get the answer to that next week, indeed. And then after that, the awards will be handed out. We'll see if Burrow comes in and has a great performance here next Saturday, further solidify his stranglehold and his grip on that Heisman Trophy they're going to hand out the week after. It would be an interesting week indeed. Big intrigue on rivalry week. But still, there's a lot of intrigue to go and a lot of things to figure out as far as college football goes in the coming week or so. And we thank you for getting up and spending some time with us this morning.
You got it, Sam. Thank you.
Always good catching up with Corey McCartney. Like you said, we usually have him on to talk a lot of baseball, talk about Braves, talk about the baseball playoffs. But he is a Heisman voter. He's a Heisman voter, and seems like his mind's kind of made up. Where it go, we didn't ask him where he's going to vote, but he seems like he's really leaning toward Joe Burrow, and the thing that he's been able to do seems like he is thoroughly impressed with Burrow. And so, that's why we wanted to have him on this morning, to let you hear the thoughts from someone who does have a vote in the Heisman ballot. And I don't know about you, Greg. They never asked me to vote for stuff like that.
Well,
I don't know. I'm trying to think of anything they've ever asked me.
I'm about to say, that's surprising.
I don't know.
Well, listen, I can't hang in here and go into that. I want to get Corey on again, because I want to talk about this. He said something just as matter-of-factly as I've ever heard anybody say, and they need to change the word then. If the Heisman represents the best player in the sport, and you got a player like Chase Young doing what he's done from the defensive end position – I mean, yeah, Woodson did play special teams and things like that.
Yeah.
But you can't just limit it to offensive players.
He's got so many other players on that team that do make a difference.
I understand it, but what you say, if that's true, if all the voters take that stance, what does that say about – all right, no defensive players. Y'all can't never win this award. You know what I mean? I mean, he made a blanket statement as if it's never going to happen. That didn't resonate with you?
Well, just the fact he also said it seems like they kind of take the easy way out.
Well,
which
there
I don't think is the easy way out, because there's more evidence, there are more numbers, there are more statistics for the offensive player. No, that's it, because for offensive player, there's a whole lot of more stats that are kept and are constantly presented to us on offensive players than they are on defensive players. So I think that's one of the reasons why. But it's not, we're not the voters, the writers or the people who have the ballot. And I'm with you on this, Greg. You know, they should be able to do their due diligence to get the best player. There is. But it seems like, all right, so we're going to talk about that a little bit more as we go on this morning. We had for the 8 o'clock hour, but we still got more in this hour coming up next. You know who's going to be at work the next couple of weeks? Just in time for the holidays. Tiger Woods. Yep. He's going to be in action in the Bahamas and in the President's Cup. Going to talk about that and more when we continue on this Game Day Sunday morning. Here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you. Nine floors up in the Kia Studios watching some clouds go by. As we had some rain earlier today, and hopefully that will taper off today. Man, but still, nice morning outside. Hope you're enjoying yourself. You've been in the area for the holiday weekend. You had a chance to spend some time with family and friends, enjoy good food, good fellowship, and if you're driving back home, you will drive safely. Don't forget, coming up later today, you're on Sports Radio 929 The Game. The NFL plays here. The Falcons are not playing, but there's still lots of NFL action for you. Here we start things off with the Tennessee Titans, Indianapolis Colts. That's a 12:30 pregame show with a kickoff at 1 o'clock. To be followed, join in progress, the Kansas City Chiefs and the Oakland Raiders. And the nightcap of the day will have the New England Patriots and the Houston Texans. Pregame at 7:30, kickoff at 8:20. So hope you will stay with us today. If you're not somewhere sitting and watching, at least you tune in and you're listening to the NFL here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And don't forget, you can follow us always on social media platforms, the various platforms, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at 929 The Game. If you go to our website, 929thegame.com, you will find so many things, so many interviews. You'll find a lot of stories, podcasts, all there. Of course, you know, Greg has Casting Call as well. If you go to the blogs, there's so much more for there if you go. You want to join the conversation anytime this morning, obviously the number is 447-410-929, or text us on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 447-410-929. Just in time for the holidays, folks. Tiger Woods. The next couple of weekends, we'll get a chance to see him in action. Of course, the big event that he hosts, the 2019 Hero World Challenge, taking place in the Bahamas, since the music that we heard coming back from our break. We'll give you a chance to see him in action with a limited field, but still some of the top golfers in the world will be there and, you know, taking them on. So you may want to watch the field there. We got guys like Matt Kuchar is going to be there. Justin Rose will be there. Webb Simpson, Jordan Spieth, Henrik Stenson, Bubba Watson, just some of the golfers that will be there. Ricky Fowler. But one who is not going to be there, who has dropped out and just announced yesterday, is Dustin Johnson. He is withdrawn from the Hero World Challenge in order to be at his best for President's Cup, which is the following week. So he's had some arthroscopic surgery to repair some cartilage damage in his left knee. That's according to Golf Week magazine. And so the number four player in the world hasn't played since the Tour Championship here in Atlanta over at Eastlake back in August. He announced this week that he will forego the Hero World Challenge in the Bahamas so that he can be better prepared for the U.S. team for the President's Cup. So that's what he's doing. So no Dustin Johnson this coming week, wanting to be at his best for the event coming up, which Tiger is also involved there. He is the captain of the U.S. Team. And so a lot of people will watch to see what happens with that and the matches that come up for that. The U.S. against the international team, talented international team. That's some good players. Some players you may not be as familiar with, but they still have some talented players like Adam Scott will be there and Louis Oosthuizen. Hideki Matsuyama. Matsuyama is going to be there. But the U.S. team looks pretty strong. And, you know, Tigers managed to align himself with a pretty strong group Justin Thomas there, Matt Kuchar, Webb Simpson, Patrick Cantlay, Bryson DeChambeau, Tony Finau, Ricky Fowler, Patrick Reed, Gary Woodland. So it was a very, very strong group that will take place the following week. The U.S. team against the international team and the assistant, assistant captain. They had captain's assistants. What do these guys do? President's Cup. The Tigers, the captain, and his assistant captain. So they drive the golf cart. It's three of them. How got a three? They go driving three golf carts with Fred Couples, Zach Johnson, and Steve Stricker. These guys are the captain's assistant. You know, we're going to do some digging on this, man. What do you have to do to land this gig? Be good at driving the cart, you know, make sure the beverages are cold. What do you do if you're the assistant captain on the President's Cup team? Not a bad gig if you can get it, huh? So Tiger Woods is the captain. But the captain's assistants, they're not called assistant captain, they're the captain's assistants in case he needs anything. I guess they just be around. Fred Couples, Zach Johnson, Steve Stricker, and those are the guys who would do that. Greg, what
they help him with strategy. So there's going to be some decisions made toward the end when it comes to singles and pairings and things like that. And they get to look and see who's playing good, not having a good week, things like that. And then they kind of combine. Come together and make decisions about who they'd like to pair or use in those final single matchups.
Yeah, but they get nice golf carts to ride in while they're
doing it. They get nice shirts too and everything. But sometimes you sit some of them boys those last days. Like Mickelson got put on a bench before because he just wasn't playing well.
But these guys, you won't plug any of these guys into play, though.
I'm just saying that's what their assistants are there for, to help help the president make decisions.
Well, not the president, but the captain.
Man, I got to go. I got no time for this.
It's the President's Cup. That's what's coming up, folks. Tiger Woods is going to be, like I said, he's hosting the event in the Bahamas, and then, of course, the President's Cup is coming up. So next couple of weeks, he's going to be busy in action. And as soon as you're going to do that, if you watch golf at all, you watch for Tiger, of course, that will be coming up. Also, later today, he's already wrapped up the F1 championship. Lewis Hamilton will be, and actually he's on the pole, by the way. I think they're racing in Dubai, and that's the Grand Prix that's this week. He's already wrapped up the championship. He won the pole. It's been a while since he's won a pole too, but he's the top qualifier, and he will be racing F1. That comes up a little later on today, our time. I think. Well, no, maybe another hour. Our time. So I watch for that and see whichever. And we'll keep up and see how that goes along this morning as we get ready to count down to that. Count to a football is coming up. Count down to a basketball talk in the next hour. We're going to talk. John Babel's going to come in. We're going to talk some Atlanta Hawks basketball with him and a lot more. So you stay tuned. Next hour, we'll talk some things with the Hawks. They got some big games coming up, the schedule. He's also a Georgia Tech man. Might get some thoughts a little bit on what's happening with Georgia Tech basketball. Of course, they started the season with an impressive win over NC State. Narrow defeat to Arkansas this week. I'm sure he keeps up with his alma mater. So that's coming up in the next hour.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.